Eric Cohen here at 88.3 FM, WAER. We are the home of jazz here in central New York. And always happy to welcome in a special guest, one of the artists that we get to play here on a weekly basis. And my guest today is somebody who's been playing guitar since he was just a teenager. Who knows, maybe even earlier than that. He has had the chance to study with the likes of Mike Stern and Vic Juris, among others. And he's recorded and performed with artists ranging from Randy Brecker and Mark Egan to, Will Lee and Joel Rosenblatt, who join him on his latest release, which is called Hit It and Quit. It's out on Apria Records. It's his sixth recording to date. He's a Jersey boy, and I know he's proud of it. We are speaking of guitarist B.D. Lenz, who joins us here on WAER. B.D., thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, Eric.
Hey, it's good to have you, and real excited about this this new record of yours, which we have been fortunate to play lately here on WAER. Now, as much as I enjoyed your straight up release, I've got to say this new one, Hit It and Quit, with yourself and Will Lee and Joel Rosenblatt, the material on here, I think is some of the best. I think it's some of the best stuff that you've done. Where do you rank? I know it's the latest one, so I'm sure it's obviously foremost in your mind. But of the all the recordings you've done, does this one rank as maybe the best of the best for you?
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, it's undeniable. Like, I feel with each one, you know, that I get better at this. And not only that, I mean, as you mentioned, I have this ridiculous band on the record, and you know, it was recorded at a great studio with a great engineer. So just all around, it was a top-notch production. You know, you can definitely hear the difference.
Let us talk a little bit about guys that you're working with on this record. Now, I've had a chance to meet Will Lee on many an occasion. Will has come up here to the Syracuse Jazz Fest on more than one occasion. He is one of the most in-demand bass players there is. Of course, people know him from his work in the Letterman band. How long have you known Will, were you surprised that he was available to do this record date, considering how busy he is?
Well, first of all, you asked me how long I knew him. I actually never knew him until we stepped foot together in the studio.
Oh my gosh.
It was actually set up by the label, and I mean, you know, I know he's really busy, but it was set up like way in advance, you know, to get everybody's schedule together. So, you know, like the label wanted him on it, and so did I. You know, I was really excited about it, of course. So we made, you know, we arranged these sessions just to make sure, you know, we could get everybody. And he was absolutely amazing. I mean, like I said, I didn't really know him. I had met him once before, you know, somewhere, but, you know, I had no idea what he was going to be like to work with. But it was so awesome. I mean, I stepped foot in the studio and had no idea what to expect. He was like the funniest, coolest human being, you know.
Oh, he's always, you know, there's no off button for Will.
That's true.
That's for sure. He's always on, indeed. And again, he's as cool of a guy as he is a musician. And we've been fortunate to have him perform here in Syracuse on more than one occasion. Now, I mentioned that your guitar playing goes back to, I guess, around the age of 14, and like a lot of jazz players, you grew up on rock and roll. Who was it that really first opened your eyes to the guitar?
I think my first guitar heroes were, well, I was a big Rush fan. Mm. So Alex Lifeson, really into, you know, Jimi Hendrix, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Joe Satriani. You know, that like the Joe Satriani thing, you know, that was the big thing in the 80s when I was, you know, just starting on guitar, that shredding rock guitar. And that's kind of where I started from, you know.
And I understand, I was reading a review of the record where you talked about seeing an interview that was done with the drummer of Rush, Neil Peart.
Yeah.
And I guess that was a pretty cool moment to actually watch
that.
Yeah,
it's kind of a funny story because, you know, I've done pretty well in the area of licensing my music out. You know, it's been on a number of television shows. And somebody had forwarded me, like, a YouTube clip of this Neil Peart interview. And, you know, I thought he was just sending it, like, hey, check out Neil Peart. You know, I always, you know, watch an interview with these guys. So, you know, I'm watching the interview. I'm like, yeah, you know, it was great. I sent him an email back, you know, awesome interview. Thank you for sending, you know.
But you weren't aware at first, though, the reason why you were sent the interview was the fact of that your music was playing in the background.
Yeah, you know, and I watched the whole interview, and I didn't even notice. I was so, like, involved in his interview. Yeah. So, you know, he just said, hey, check out this video, you know.
Right.
So, he emailed back. He's like, no, did you hear the music? And then, like, I freaked, you know, because he's one of my heroes.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
I know people like Jimi Hendrix and you mentioned, you know, Stevie Ray Vaughan certainly are up there. As far as jazz players, though, now I know you have been known to describe your music as a groovin' funky jazz. It's sort of a mix of jazz and funky soul and rhythm and blues. But in terms of jazz players, whether they've since passed on or modern-day jazz guitar players, who kind of does it for you in the jazz world?
Well, I have to say, I mean, the first guy that I really latched onto was Mike Stern.
Right. Okay.
You know, Mike Stern, you know, he's the guy who sort of is also straddling that jazz rock thing, you know, because, I mean, he obviously is a ridiculous jazz guitar player, but he can just play the heck out of the blues, you know. So, like, you know, I could latch on to him coming from the rock side early on, and he kind of helped get me into the jazz world as well, you know. And once I got in, you know, then I discovered, like, Pat Metheny, who, you know, I absolutely adore, and, you know, Jim Hall and Vic Juris, and, you know, there's so many guys. But, you know, I think Mike Stern was, for me, that first bridge into the jazz world.
Huh. You know, we mentioned Will Lee, but we don't want to slight your drummer, Joel Rosenblatt, Nick Rolfe on keyboards. Now, these are also guys that before this recording you had not even really met?
Yeah, I mean, I met Joel also, like, once, you know, somewhere at a club he was playing. Nick, the keyboard player, is probably the only one I've actually done a couple gigs with before that. We were both sidemen on the same gig. But, you know, Joel and Will were just, you know, top of the top, yeah. You know, like, I'd only met both of them once before, and obviously had never worked together, you know, so it was all really exciting and scary and fun, you know, just like showing up to the studio with these guys and seeing what was going to happen, you know.
So the chemistry was I guess, instantaneous.
I think it was, you know, and I really attribute that to these guys being, like I said, you know, just great people besides being great musicians. I mean, you know, if even one guy comes in with an attitude, it really just ruins the vibe, you know. But everybody was just so cool and, you know, really wanted to make a great record.
We're chatting with B.D. Lenz, whose latest release on Apria, or Apria, how do you say that label?
Apria.
It's Apria, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure I say that right, since they'll be hearing this interview at some point. It's titled Hit It and Quit, and the very first track on the record, I know, holds special meaning to you because it, pays homage to where you're currently residing in Hackettstown, New Jersey, a song called H-Town.
That's right. That's right.
Was this the first time I was reading where it was the first time that you were arranging something that featured a horn section?
That's right. And it was sort of like requested by my label boss. You know, he you know, had some horn guys that he wanted to kind of, you know, try out and have them play on something. So he asked me if I'd write something that would, you know, showcase them. And so for me, it was my first foray into that world of horns. And you know, I love making myself do new things. So for me, it was a blast. And I was really, really happy the way it came out.
What people might not realize, too, is that going all the way back to your elementary school days, The guitar was not the first instrument you picked up, correct?
That's true. Yeah, I actually grew up playing saxophone.
Wow. The transition from sax to guitar.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I played, I mean, I wasn't that into it growing up. I mean, you know, I didn't really practice. And, you know, once I got a guitar in my hands, and, you know, everything changed. But, you know, having that background, at least, you know, I knew about music. I could read music, and, you know, I had six down from playing saxophone, which helped me greatly.
I want to ask you, since I was not there to be a part of it, what was the vibe like for your CD release party, which I guess was earlier this year? I guess it was over the summer, right?
Yeah, that's right. It was in June,
and it was at the world renowned Iridium Jazz Club in New York City. I mean, I actually have never been to the Iridium myself, unfortunately, but I know that the best of the best have played the Iridium. What was that night like for you to be able to bring this CD to life in a club that's known the world over?
It was amazing. I mean, for a few reasons. I mean, as you pointed out, first of all, I'm playing this, you know, great venue. You know, and it was the first time I could really play this, you know, play the songs out as, you know, they sound on the record. And then just the opportunity to play with these guys live. I mean, you know, we did the studio sessions, which was great, you know, but to be able to do a live gig with them, you know, was another experience that I got to enjoy. Mm. It was all around an amazing night.
I don't mean to go back, as I mean, we should be looking forward, but I have to ask you about this honor that you were given as the top North American, your band was named the top North American jazz group of 2008. Now, I realize we're on the brink of 2010 here, but you were named the top North American jazz group of 2008 by gigmasters.com. Now, needless to say, you were competing with hundreds upon hundreds of bands for this honor, and you were given a phone call or an email or something that says, hey, guess what, BD, your band won. Well, I mean, what is that like? I mean, this is the number one online entertainment booking service, and you guys won their one of their Rising Star Awards for 2008. I mean, that had to be had to blow your mind.
It was pretty cool. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, essentially there's like hundreds and hundreds of bands on there, and you know, we've been really successful. Like, we, you know, they've helped us book a lot of gigs, and you know, we've done very well with it, and I attribute that just to having, you know, great musicians in my band, and we always, you know, try to do the best we can everywhere we play. So it was definitely a huge honor, and, you know, it was great. I'm not going to let it get to my head or anything, but it was a big honor for sure.
I don't read another quote, by the way. This is from Jazz Times, which is probably the main jazz publication out there, who says, contemporary jazz guitarist B.D. Lenz's quartet lays down a funky, jamming vibe, integrating catchy good time grooves with moodier blues inflicted pieces. I mean, obviously you I'm sure have read a lot of reviews of your music, reviews of your concerts. In your own words, for somebody that is going to listen to Hit It and Quit, and it's the first B.D. Lenz record that they're hearing, I mean, how would you best describe your sound? I mean, you're more than just a jazz guitarist. You obviously have some funk elements, some fusion elements, some jam band elements. Describe your sound in your own words.
Sure. I mean, you know, it's funny because just like that review, I mean, most reviews of my records have a lot of adjectives because, you know, there's just such a mishmash of stuff. You know, like, as you pointed out, I mean, I'm very eclectic in my taste. I mean, I just love all kinds of music. I just love good music, no matter, you know, what style it is. And somehow it all gets filtered into my records and my writing. So, I mean, you know, at the heart of everything, we're jazz musicians because there's, you know, there's improvisation and solos. But, you know, I'm really, really strong. I'm really all about composing at the same time, and I mean, I really make an effort to write great tunes. You know, it's not just about you know, blowing guitar solos. I want to write a great song, too. Yeah. So, you know, there's just this hybrid of different kind of beats But all in the same, I think it's really pretty organized and pretty cohesive at the same time, if that's possible.
Well, one of the things I love about your music, and it was certainly on display on the Straight Up record, it was, and it's certainly on display again on Hit It and Quit, and you just touched on it briefly, is your writing. I mean, you obviously are a fantastic writer and arranger, and I know that writing music is, writing a song is not something that it can happen right away. I mean, it's a long process that goes into just the whole story behind the song and the lyrics to the song and the chord progressions. I mean, it can be very complex. Writing to you, has it always just been something that you've embraced?
No, I mean, like I really look at it as, you know, a skill that you develop. I mean, I didn't begin writing great tunes, you know. It was just something over the years I really worked hard on, and I've studied, you know, a lot of other people's work. You know, I really made a big study of writing and composing, and you know, and I'm very neurotic about my own writing. I mean, it's not like it just comes out and it's done. Like I work on it and work on it and work on it, and I demo it and I change things constantly. So for me, it's always like a work in progress. And even running into the studio, I'm changing things along the way. But I really, really believe in you know, writing great compositions, because again, I mean, I've heard some of the best musicians in the world blow these amazing solos, but you know, after a while, it's like, you know, I want to walk away with a melody in my head, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just something I've really worked hard on developing over many years.
Well, it's always a work in progress, and again, your writing from the records that I've listened to really is a lot of depth to your writing, and this new record certainly showcases that from start to finish. Now, in our final moments here, I can't be remiss if I did not ask you about all the exposure that your music has gotten. I mean, we touched on the fact that it was the background music in that Russia interview, but I mean, there's so many musicians out there that one would love to be on a record label. You've obviously mm-hmm. accomplished that. You've released 6 records, and people would kill just to have their music played on TV or on a movie or something. Your music has been featured in, let's see if I get this straight now, over 100 television shows internationally, yeah, including music on MTV's Making the Band, VH1's Brooke Knows Best, Nickelodeon, Comedy Central. What is it about BD Lenz's music and getting placement on TV? Why do you think that your music is so TV friendly?
Well, honestly, I hope because it's good. I mean, I hope that's the easy answer. Because, you know, I'm not a producer and I don't put TV shows together, so I don't know what they're looking for. I mean, I just try to write good music, and I really hope that's the answer. I hope it's that simple.
Other networks, including Spike and A&E, PBS as well. Now, let me ask you this. If a movie producer came along and had somehow heard your music and said, hey, we'd love for you to write a song for a movie, is that something that would interest you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, like I said, I'm always looking for new opportunities, you know, to make me write something different, or, you know, and I love writing music of all kinds of genres. You know, I've written some electronic music that I've tried to get, you know, placed on TV, and, you know, so, yeah, I'm totally into that. I just love writing music, and I look for, you know, new challenges all the time.
Well, I'll tell you what, you might be a Jersey boy, but there's also a little Hollywood in you as well.
Because I lived there for a little while, actually. I went to school out there.
That's right. You did. You graduated from the Musicians Institute in Hollywood. So, you know,
right,
you've rubbed elbows with that Hollywood crowd. And
maybe that's what, you know, started the whole thing. I don't know.
Maybe it is. But listen, the BD Lenz live experience, I've never had a chance to see you live, but I imagine that hearing you play live, it's got to be quite an experience, but you pretty much pull it all out when you take that stage, you play obviously material from your records, but you might also throw in some Bob Marley, some Clapton, right? You pretty much let it all loose at your gigs, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have, you know, because, you know, I'm very aware that a lot of the places that we're playing, you know, they're not jazz audiences. I mean, they don't know jazz tunes, and they might not know my records. So, you know, I want to play songs that they recognize. And frankly, it's stuff that I love, too, because I grew up on it. You know, like, you know, Stevie Wonder tunes and, yeah, you know, Eric Clapton, whatever. So, you know, we definitely pull out fun songs that, you know, anybody could appreciate. I mean, you don't have to be a jazz listener or anything.
Well, I'll tell you what, B.D. Lenz has certainly arrived in the jazz world. His latest record, Hit It and Quit, with Will Lee, Nick Rolfe, and Joel Rosenblatt, among others. It's on Opria Recordings. You can learn more by checking out bdlenz.com, and you also have a MySpace page as well, right?
That's right, yep. It's myspace.com/bdlenz.
All right, and again, there's so many ways that people can get hip to your music, whether it be online or checking you out live. And I know 2009 has been a good year for you, and hey, continued success in 2010, and hopefully we'll get you up to Syracuse. I see where you played played the Oswego Harbor Fest.
That's right.
So Oswego is not only about 45 minutes from Syracuse, so let's hope we can get Syracuse on your itinerary one of these days.
I hope so, and, you know, we're all around New York State. We're playing Ithaca in January.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, I love getting up there. And, you know, I just want to thank you for having me and for playing my record. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, on behalf of Jazz Radio, we're happy to be playing it, but certainly not the only station. There's a bunch of stations out there that are very hip to the new recording. It's called Hit It and Quit. B.D. Lenz has been our guest here at WAER. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, guess what? We're going to hear a couple of songs. We'll probably throw on H-Town right after this on the home of jazz in Central New York, 88.3 FM, WAER.